And this was a surprise. I was asked at the last minute. But I was told a long time ago that I can't screw up my own story because it's my story, you know, as long as I'm being honest about it. But as I was sitting there, I'm thinking about I'm going to go up here and I'm going to say this, this, and this, and this, and now I don't know what the heck I'm going to say. So, there it goes. Like I said, I'm an addict alcoholic. And this is supposed to be the Sunday morning spiritual speaker. As I was sitting, though, I was sitting there thinking about kind of my relationship with my higher power and how it's changed. And at one time, it wasn't. I didn't consider it a higher power. And I'm talking about, you know, remember, I went to Sunday school when I was a little kid. And I remember the pastor asking me, because we, my brothers and me, went. And the pastor at the time asked me, well, where's your dad? And I'm like, well, he's golfing, you know. And I kind of caught it for that later when I came back and they told my dad that. Anyhow. And then I also remember going to Sunday school. And the only thing I remember is Christmas time, we sang some songs, and they gave us a little basket with candy canes, apples, oranges, or whatever, you know. I really, really, really didn't have an understanding of what was being said in there, you know. I know when I was 14, I was asked to teach a Sunday school class, which was kind of funny, actually, because I didn't know. I didn't know anything. I mean, I sat there and tried to talk about the little Bible stories and all that, and it just wasn't working. So when I was about 14 or so, I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore because I didn't feel like I was able to talk to these kids about this stuff when I didn't have an understanding. I don't know, by the time I was 14 or so, I had done a lot of things, so I didn't think God was there for me. But anyhow, when I was about 10, my dad, you know, had been beating the crap out of my mom, basically. And I remember thinking, and I was really, really little, and I remember thinking that it was my fault because I was self-centered back then, too. Anyhow, I really did. I believed it was my fault. And if I wasn't there, then everything would be okay because I was the only one that was getting hit. So, I remember I wrote a letter to God. I was 10 years old. And basically, I wrote a letter to God and asked him to please just take me away. Because then I thought everything would be okay. And I didn't. And I was really angry at God. You know, and a lot of things went on that I blame God for. A lot of things that I held on to for a really long time. And I don't know, one of the things that I found that had a big part of my using, and I'm not going to blame it on that, but there was a sense of always being alone. I never felt part of. I always felt alone. I didn't feel part of my family. I didn't feel, you know, I tried to fit in with all the different groups of school and, you know, the jocks and the smart kids and whatever, and I ended up being one of the ones behind the school with the army coats on and the tore up jeans and the ones that would sit out there in the cornfield and get high. You know, that's where my little home went. But that was kind of short-lived, too. I don't know. Like I said, I never felt I was belonged, and I'm just going to tell a little story. I was like 15, and I was on the run. I was called a habitual runaway because I was always running. And I didn't realize that I was the problem that I was taking myself. But there was a particular night that I got kicked out of somebody's house at like 2 in the morning. And I was on the run. So I really didn't have anywhere to go. So what I did was I started hitchhiking, and I remember it was by Trowbridge School, really close to Grace, where the Friday Night on Cole is there. Anyhow, so I decided I was going to hitchhike. And there was a couple guys that picked me up and basically said, you know, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to go commit suicide. I'm going to kill myself. And they said, okay, we're going to help you. So they said, you sit in the front seat. When you do this, they handed me a gun. They had guns in the back seat. I don't know why or whatever. So they said, we're going to have you sit in the front seat, give you the gun. When you do it, we're going to throw you out and we're going. I'm like, cool. Sounds good to me. You know, and I was half drunk still and feeling so hopeless and so alone, you know. And so I took the gun and I put it to my head and I pulled the trigger. And I still have the burn mark up here because I found out later it was a starter gun. But that's where I felt. I felt that alone. I just did not want to be here. I didn't feel like anybody was there for me. I didn't realize that there were people there for me that really did care, but I pushed them away, and I didn't know that at the time. Anyhow, so my relationship with God kind of continued, and the idea that he wasn't there for me, and anyhow, when I was with the father of my kids, he was an atheist, and he used to talk about God, and I kept thinking, oh, you're going to be struck dead. And so that was my little understanding of God. But anyhow, so I came into the program after a lot of using, after a lot of things like everybody else has gone through, and, you know, did a lot of hurting other people. And I was introduced to Cocaine Anonymous. I actually was introduced to a different fellowship before, CA. But I remember when this person came up to the hospital and he shared his story, and I was like, it was awesome because he was free. I could see that. You know, it was something that I didn't experience. It was not, you know, it was not where I was at that time, you know. And I told you my brain goes. Anyhow, so it went there somewhere. So I met a lot of cool people, you know, and Diane, totally true about the timid, shy thing, because I still, you know, I'm okay with being over here. I like to watch other people. I love watching people dance up here. But anyhow, so when I was introduced to the steps, I thank God for that second step. Because there's no way I would have went from that first step to the third step. It just wasn't going to happen, you know. And I definitely, my higher power was the group. Because I always figured there's a lot other people here that had a lot more sense and knew a lot more than I did by myself, you know. But so things had gone on in recovery, and you know, a lot of things in recovery, even my early recovery, it was like, wasn't like really recovering kind of behavior, but it's okay. It's okay, you know. Things change. So anyhow, I guess this is gonna be really short, so anybody going out of town will be able to go drive safe home. Anybody in a rush, gotta go get the kids or anything, hey, you'll be all right. So anyhow, I don't know, the big picture today, I mean the really big picture today, God has my back. No matter what's going on in my life, and man, I still create chaos. I am in here, you know. And then I turn around, and I keep it to myself. So it's like, well, that was really unproductive. So anyhow, but no matter what's going on in my life, God's here. Cause I'm not, like I said, I'm scrambled all the dang time, you know. And I'm okay, I take medication for that, it does help. But I'm still, you know, still got issues. So, but like I said, regardless of what's going on in my life, God's there. God's the constant in my life, you know. Yeah, he's there. Because I know who I can turn to. And it's God. There are so many times where I feel like I'm not there, that connection's not there. But it's because I've stepped away, you know. And today, right now, I'm like really close, you know. But yeah. So really, the big picture is, you know, God's here. And I see God in different people and different messages I got last night when Ronnie was talking about, he was talking about that part when you know you're going to get that dope and all of a sudden you got to go to the bathroom, all bad. Well, I got this thing about, no one, I got to come up here. I was like, oh, anticipatory nervousness. Anyhow, I don't know. Like I said, God, thank you, whoever said that. Anyhow, I don't know. This is an awesome life today. I don't know. I like to see people smile. I like to see and hear other people's ideas and their perceptions of God, you know. And I got to say one thing. And Diane, I did sponsor Diane at one time. This is a little story. And the person I had a sponsor for 8 years, and she was an awesome lady, and she was all about affirmations, and she was like all about these healing books and you know, inner child, and that was important. You know, I had a really screwed up life when I was a kid, and I did a lot of screwed up things to other people, you know. So I needed that. I don't know if I needed 8 years of that, but I needed that. That's exactly what I needed. Because if it wouldn't have been like that, then, you know, I don't know. I needed that. I needed that nurturing and that loving and that closeness, and I needed that, you know. And I was sponsoring Diane the way I was sponsored, you know. And actually, my sponsor would, every so often, she'd be like, well, what step are you on? I'm like, I seem to be on the first step a lot, you know, and the second step and third step. It took me a really long time to do that fourth step. But anyhow, so Diane said I need to get a new sponsor that works out the big book. And at first I was like, you know, I was, you know, my ego got all messed up in the middle of it all. But then years later when I was struggling, I had seen a change in Diane. And it was through working. And that was awesome. And I was actually in a world convention in Chicago. And I had taken a step back before that night. I think I might have been going through a divorce at the time. And I stopped going to meetings. I had, you know, basically stepped back. And I didn't feel part of it again. Which that was of my own doing. But anyhow, so I was like really, really close to using. And I wasn't telling anybody this, and that's one thing I know today, and I knew that as a newcomer. Once, if I feel like using, once I open my mouth and I say that, it takes the power away right there. You know, it takes that power away by me saying it. But anyhow, but okay, so in Chicago, I went to the auditorium. I got to see the dolphins. And I think at that time, they had some extra shark exhibits, so I got to see the sharks. And I went shopping. And I did everything to stay away from the hotel because I just didn't want to be there. And like I said, I wanted to use it. And then there was a speaker, the Saturday night speaker. And the only thing I knew about him, because I didn't hear anything, was that he had a long ponytail. And when I did later and become a delegate, I saw him out there. I'm like, oh, cool. Like I said, I don't know what the story was, but I saw him again. But that was hope because I knew he was still here. So I went into this room, and there was a bunch of women in there laughing and talking and whatever. And I think I was coming up on 12 years, you know. That's kind of sad, but that's my story. It's part of it. Anyhow, so there was a bunch of women, and they're laughing and talking. And I went into the room, and I found out they were Sisters in Sobriety. It's like an online meeting for women. And so everybody was sharing, and when it came time for me to share, you know, I was, you know, like, well, my name's Ann, I'm an addict alcoholic, and I don't know how not to use today, because I was that close, because I had pushed everything away that I knew worked, you know. Bottom line is, I finally opened my mouth, and I finally shared it, and that I made a recommitment to my recovery. I knew I needed to jump in there like I did when I was first clean. you know. And then that's when I really, really saw the change in Diane. And I was like, yeah. I put her on the spot, by the way, because I asked her to be my sponsor in a group. So, what choice did she have? No. But it was like, it was very humbling, you know, and I don't know. I was able to go through the steps, and I went through the steps differently. You know, I don't know. Through all that, you know, one thing I like about this program, and one thing that is just so amazing about my life, and probably everybody's life in here, everything that I went through, everything that was the situations that went on in my life, all the things that, how I hurt people, and in one of the readings about the forgiveness part, there's still some things, and I've talked to a couple people about it. There are some things that I still, you know, I'm still working on that process of forgiving myself, and that's cool, you know. But once again, the big picture, everything that I've gone through, my whole experience has brought me to here. And it doesn't really matter what went on, because, oh my God, God's given me such a different life, you know. And nobody can take this away from me. Nobody. Nobody can take this away from me, you know. And for that, I will always be grateful. I don't know. I love my life today. And like I said, the one constant in my life, regardless of where I decide to go, the one constant is God. You know, it's God. And, you know, the little ABCs and how it works, you know, that no human power, but God can. You know, God can, he can do this, you know. I don't know. I think that's probably about all I got. I told you it'd be short, sweet, and to the point. Anyhow, thank you. Thank you, everybody here.